Hello, this is Kendra Brodine of WomenLawyersOnline.com, and today I'm so excited to bring you a conversation with Mary Lou Thibault. Mary Lou joined the firm of Scholar, Abbott & Presser in 1995 after practicing in the employment law group of a large Hartford, Connecticut law firm, and she became a partner of Scholar, Abbott & Presser in 2001. Mary Lou received her undergraduate degree from Bryant College, and she received that magna cum laude in 1988. And in 1993, she received her law degree, magna cum laude, from Western New England College School of Law, after serving as the note editor for the Western New England Law Review. She's admitted to practice in the state and federal courts of Massachusetts and Connecticut, and she has experience in all aspects of employment litigation and has successfully defended employers in lawsuits before state and federal courts, as well as administrative agencies, including the Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination and the Connecticut Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities. Mary Lou has defended multiple class action lawsuits involving alleged wage violations. Mary Lou also conducts extensive management training for employers and associations on a variety of topics, including harassment prevention, wage and hour law, interaction of the Family Medical Leave Act with other leave laws, and the ADA compliance. Mary Lou has been named a super lawyer in employment law by Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly, which recognizes the top 5% of the lawyers in specific practice areas. So with that, welcome to the call today, Mary Lou.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Mary Lou, let's just jump right into the substance of the call and the questions. And the first one is, as you look back on your life and on your professional career, your educational years in college and in law school, and then again into your legal practice, I'm wondering if you would say that balancing your work and your life is something that's always come very naturally to you, or if there was a critical time in your practice or in your life where you decided to do things differently, where something changed, or it was a big time where you decided to make a more conscientious decision to balance in a different way.
I'd say that there's been several pivotal points. I've made many decisions to make changes over the course of my career. I see my work personal life on opposite sides of a scale. Early on in my career, when I had few obligations with respect to family, and I had been used to working full-time and going to law school full-time, and hence didn't have very much of a personal life, the scales tipped greatly to the work side of that scale. As time went on, my personal life changed and, well, grew, and the scales started to tip less in the way of work life and became more balanced between work and personal life. Not surprisingly, as I had children, the weight I gave to my personal life versus my career again changed. And when my children were young, I choose to put my personal life, I'd say, at the forefront. But as they have grown and begin spending most of their days in school, I've been fortunate to have worked at a firm where an equal balance between work and personal life has been encouraged. So I'd say there's been many events in my life that have caused me to switch my thinking one way or the other as to whether work was my focus or my personal life or both.
It sounds like depending on where you were in your life and what kind of demands you were juggling, and even, like you said, along the growth path of your children, just the way that they've grown and their days have changed, you've changed along with it. So it seems like sort of a work in progress.
I think that's true, and that's probably true for a lot of people. I'm fortunate that I work at a firm where it's encouraged to do what fits your particular situation.
That seems to make such a difference when the firm is amenable to allowing you to figure out what works best, certainly as long as you're fulfilling your duties to the firm and to your clients, but at the same time encouraging you to have the family and to be the kind of mom and other have those other relationships in your life that add meaning and to the rest of your life.
I think that's true, and I don't think everyone has that opportunity, and I encourage people to make changes in their careers or their personal life so they can accomplish what's important to them.
It's true that sometimes it takes a change, as you suggested, where we have to either be an advocate for ourselves within a firm that is not incredibly amenable to the family life, or maybe take a very courageous leap out of that firm if it is necessitated into a different firm or into a solo practice, but to have the courage to say, I need to create my life in this way, and be it in this firm or in a different way, I'm going to live by my priorities and create the lifestyle that I want. And sometimes, like you said, that takes creating a change.
Absolutely.
Mary Lou, what would you say as you look back on, you know, on this journey, on the various pivotal points that you mentioned, what has been your biggest struggle or your biggest challenge as you've tried to create balance and alignment between what you were doing professionally and what you were doing personally? What's been the hardest part of doing that?
I'd say the hardest part came once I had children. And for me, the biggest challenge has been accepting that I can't give 100% and 24 hours a day to both my personal life and my work life at all times. I think I used to spend a lot of time with my children worrying about work, feeling guilty that maybe I wasn't carrying the weight, that my coworkers were having a burden because I was working on a part-time basis. And then while I was at work, I was spending time worrying that I wasn't being the best mom and I was missing out on my children's development because I was at work. And as time has gone on, I realized that there's going to be times, such as during a trial, that I will have to focus more on work. And other times, such as school vacations or right now during softball season, that my focus will mm-hmm. be more on my personal life.
And it seems like it's, again, it's that sort of changing, besides just changing over the years, as we talked about, as your children grow and things look different in terms of your time, it sounds like there's even seasonal changes, sports changes, or different
Absolutely.
Times where you have to give more to one and less to the other, and then it'll flip-flop and balance itself out.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true, and I think you have to accept that that's going to happen without spending your time worrying about, well, I'm at work, should I be at home, and there's a trial, so I'm missing X, Y, or Z. You have to just realize that it's going to be fluid to some extent.
And being open to the fluidity. I think sometimes we can drive ourselves crazy trying to hope and pray that things will be static when, in fact, we just need to stay flexible.
That's very unlikely.
Yeah, exactly. That never happens, so it's kind of an unrealistic expectation. Oh, Mary Lou, then, in the alternative, instead of looking at the biggest challenge, what would you say has been your biggest lesson or your biggest teaching or a gem you've received from someone else or discovered on your own that's helped you figure out a little bit better how to balance between the personal and the professional?
I think one thing that's been maybe a struggle for me, and then it's been I've learned from it, is that you have to recognize, or I had to recognize, that the life work plan that I developed in my teens or early 20s should not have been set in stone. I think you have to be open to the fact that as you grow, your career grows, things that you may have thought true, for example, I might have said at one time, I will always want to work full-time no matter if I'm married or have children. That may change as your life circumstances change in ways that you wouldn't have expected. Trying to fit your fluid life into a plan set in stone is, in my opinion, I've learned, it's just likely to result in feeling unsatisfied. So I think that what I've learned and what I've tried to do is be fluid, be open to change, be open to changing what my life-work plan balance is. And I think that that's much more realistic than some of the ideas I had when I was just starting out in this field.
I always take notes. I'm just writing down, you know, what you said, just staying fluid and staying open to the changes and expecting them rather than resisting them.
Right, right.
Mary Lou, what would you say has been, as you think of, maybe as you think about that big lesson of being flexible and being fluid and open to that, or maybe completely distinct, what would be two or three or more strategies or tips or tools, more tactical or practical things that you've used or utilized to help you create some balance between your legal practice and your family life and the other commitments that you have?
I think that I usually try to take stock once or twice a year, actually set aside time to, and I do it around my birthday. I know some people do it around New Year's, but to decide what my goals really are going to be for the next year. Do I want to coach one of my children's teams? Do I want to spend a lot of time developing certain clients? Do I want to learn a new area of employment law? And I do sit down and jot down my thoughts Do I want to learn to, do I want to take piano lessons? All different sorts of things. And I think taking stock of what you're going to want to do over the next year kind of gives you an idea of where you should direct your efforts. And I think it's important to recognize that not one balance is right for all. I had a friend that elected to give up her career and stay home, which prior to the time that I had children, I thought was the craziest idea. Mm-hmm. I had another friend who married and had children late in life and never reduced her work schedule. And I've come to realize that not any one situation works for all, and no one's choice is how to balance is better. There are clearly some mm-hmm. people whose children won't benefit from a parent who is anxious or unsatisfied without spending some of their time working, and there are others whose children won't benefit if their mother is miserable about going to work full-time.
Right.
I've come to recognize that my opinion is to the right balance between work and personal life is not what everyone should do, and I try to keep an open mind when people come to me and want to have a different work schedule or do something innovative in terms of work and family. I try to keep an open mind and listen to what their particular needs are, and I think that that's been helpful in retaining quality coworkers and other people at the firm.
As you say, it seems like what's right for one person is definitely not right for others, and vice versa, that sometimes I'm sure there's stay-at-home moms who think that we're crazy for doing what we're doing, and sometimes working moms look at stay-at-home moms and maybe judge what they're doing. And the key is, like you said, to not judge, to just say, you know, what works for me, and what works for you, and just wish others the best, wish ourselves the best, and try to have as little guilt about our choices as possible, and allow others to have their choices as well.
I think that's true, and I think you have to be open, especially if you're in a managerial role, to listening to others' needs and not assuming that the way you want to do it is the way to do it. Otherwise, you're going to lose quality employees, quality attorneys, who are going to maybe leave your employment because you can't meet their needs. So I think you need to be open to accepting that your needs are not necessarily someone else's, and you may have to meet their needs.
It's true, and it fits in with what you said just about the fluidity and the flexibility. There is that openness and that openness to new things, to new ideas. And as you said, in a managerial role, you may have a fantastic employee or other person that you're working with that you don't want to lose just because you can't, you know, maybe you disagree with them or maybe you can't appreciate their needs. But when you can allow yourself to be open and really listen, maybe they've thought of a solution that's very creative. And with a little bit of thought, you can make work. And that is a very workable and good solution. But it's a great suggestion to just stay open and try to release some of that judgment. Mary Lou, is there anything else? You know, you've mentioned so many things and a lot of flexibility and openness, and I love the idea of thinking about your goals and maybe jotting them down and the idea of doing them around your birthday. And as you suggested, some folks do them around New Year's, and as I love the idea of doing it around your birthday, which is kind of a new year for each one of us personally, based on our own birthday, or you could really do it any day. I think there's days you just wake up, even back to the original question, when there's a pivotal point and you just are at the end of your rope and say, something's got to give. There's a day like that is a good day to sit down and think about those goals and what you could make change in your life, too. But it's a great suggestion. I love that. I have a birthday coming up, and it just reminds me to think. You know, that is so. It was poignant for me. I thought, you know, I need to think. You know, what's the next year? What am I hoping to bring into my life in the next year? Or do in the next year? Like you said, are there hobbies or things I want to that I haven't pursued? That maybe this is the year to pursue them. And how do I make that happen? So it's a great suggestion to take a look at those goals and at whatever point that is, but to think about what they could be for the coming year. Is there anything else, you know, as we sort of start to wind up, I'm wondering if there's any other tips or ideas or strategies that you have that have worked for you or you've seen work for other women, or because this is information that will be accessed and utilized by other women lawyers, if one of them were to ask you, you know, how have you done it or what's made it a little bit easier for you, is there anything else that you would suggest to them?
Sure. Establish a support network, both at home and at work. I think having good relationships with people who can assist you when you're not home, maybe drive a child to practice, help you out a bit, as well as work. Have a good relationship with your coworkers, the other attorneys. When they want to take time off because their grandchild is born, pick up the slack, and hopefully people will do the same for you. And I think people should not look at asking for assistance as some kind of indication that you can't get your job done, but be more willing to do what you need to do to help others, so in exchange, when you need help, there'll be people out there for you.
Mm-hmm. It's so true that it's a give and take. It's such a cycle that we can give to others, and giving and supporting others actually feels good if we look at it in that way of being a support and being of service to others and not as some sort of inconvenience, but as an opportunity to help somebody out when they need it. But knowing that the time will come where we'll probably need it as well, and that we not only should feel that we can ask, but that we can feel that we can receive, because I think it's hard for us to even ask for that support sometimes because we don't want to be a burden. As you suggested earlier, we don't want to feel like that burden to someone else. It's hard to make the ask. At the same time, especially when we've helped somebody else out, they're more than willing to help us out. And, you know, sometimes that ask and that support that we can receive makes a big difference. As you said, even with just driving a child or picking something up or doing something, it can be a real lifesaver if we're willing to reach out and accept some giving from other people. Mary Lou, as we wrap up then, I'm just wondering if you could share your firm website or any other information you'd like to share for others who could access you or learn more about what you're up to or connect with you in the future.
Sure. Well, my firm, as you mentioned, is Scholar, Abbott & Presser, and our website is scholar-abbott, ABBOTT.com. And what we do and all we've ever done is represent the employer side of an employment law matter. So if an employer, for example, had a question about what to do if an employee arrived at work and appeared to be intoxicated, employer might give us a call. We also represent them in litigation matters, such as when they're sued for discrimination or sexual harassment. And we do a lot of training for employers in that area as well.
Mm-hmm. And again, the website was Scholar Abbott, and it's Scholar-Abbott, correct?
Right, Scholer-Abbott with two B's and two T's.
.com. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, Mary Lou, with that, I'd like to thank you for your time today and for being here and all the wisdom you've shared, the tips that you've shared, and your ideas. I know that folks will benefit from encountering what you've given and learning from your experience. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Kendra.
You're very welcome. Well, with that, we'll wrap up our conversation with Mary Lou, and I trust that you, those who are listening or reading these words, will find something that's meaningful and that they can implement and take away to make a difference in their life and in their law practice. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodine of WomenLawyersOnline.com wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thank you so much for being here. Bye-bye.